ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. Respectable audience, it is an occasion of great honor and pleasure for me to address the intelligentsia of the highest caliber on a very important issue of Islamic, possessing utmost practical and pragmatic significance, and that is, as already explained, the basic principle of law making in Islam. As far as the nature of Islam as system of life and system of law is concerned, there are two very significant declarations made by God Almighty. Firstly, expressing the nature of Islamic system of life, Quran says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Set your face upright for religion, in a straight path, and that is the nature created by Almighty Allah on which the man has been made. In this Quranic verse, it is very clearly stated that Islam as a system of law, as a culture, as a social system, and as a complete code of life, perfectly and completely is consistent and consonant with the basic and essential requirements of human nature. And the second important declaration in this regard is made in connection of mentioning one of the basic objectives of the raising of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is stated in Holy Quran, وَيَّدَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, liberates the mankind from all burdens of inconveniences and hardships, and from all the chains of inhuman behavior it is suffering from. So Quran, after declaring these two facts concerning Islam, has very clearly established the fact that Islam is an easiness, and that is expressly supported by the prophetic tradition that Islam is the deen of fitra and inna deen yusrun, as reported in Sahih Bukhari, that Islam is nothing but an easiness. After analyzing these two Quranic declarations, one comes to the question that what are the basic and fundamental principles if Islam is easiness, and Islam is revealed to provide the mankind with easiness and convenience, and what are the basic principles and basic rules on which the law of the land and the state policies are required to be based. So, analyzing this situation, I would like to state that there are six basic principles on which the law of Islam is primarily based. And whenever an Islamic state is constituted and there is a requirement of formulation of Islamic constitution as well as Islamic law or the state policies, we should positively base our legal structure of the state on these primary six fundamental principles of Islam. And these are, number one, adme haraj; number two, killat e takleef; number three, tadreej; number four, rukhsat; number five, nafkh; And number six, Usool-e-Ibahat. Hadd-e-Haraj can be termed as avoidance of narrowness and removal of inconvenience. Qillat-e-Takleef can be termed as lessening of difficulties. Tadreej can be termed as graduality. Rukhsat can be termed as exceptional permissibility. Nasakh can be termed as abrogation. And Usool-e-Ibahat can be termed as the principle of general permissibility. These are six fundamental principles on which Islamic legal structure or Islamic political, socio-economic and legal system is to be based. Now coming towards the first basic principle, and that is Hadd-e-Haraj, for avoidance of narrowness and removal of inconvenience. It is stated very clearly in Holy Quran, مَا جَعْلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجْ. Almighty Allah has not created any hardship and any inconvenience for you in your religion. At another occasion, it is stated, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجْ وَلَاكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ. Almighty Allah does not want to create any hardship, any inconvenience, any trouble, any uneasiness, and any narrowness for you. He just wants to purify you from every kind of impurity. If we concentrate on these two Quranic verses, we can easily conclude that the first Quranic verse is of narrative nature. It has simply narrated the fact that Islam is not based on the idea of narrowness and hardship. Whereas the second Quranic verse narrates the plan of divine will, narrates the Almighty Allah's will, that God Almighty does not want to give you any trouble, any hardship and any inconvenience in regulating your affairs of the life. But the basic objective before God, the basic and primary aim before the Lord for revolution of law, for revolution of the religion, is to provide you with easiness, with convenience in all walks of life. So analyzing the second Quranic verse, we can easily understand that basic philosophy of Islamic lawmaking has been mentioned here. And that basic philosophy comprises of five elements. Number one, it is stated in this Quranic verse that God Almighty wants to purify the mankind through observance of law. He wants to purify mankind through observance of law. Number two, the transgression of law and violation of Islamic legal values is impurity. Number three, the law should be formulated in such manner that may not be transgressed. Or legal rules should be formulated in such manner that the people may not be forced or induced or obliged to violate the law. Because if they violate it, if they transgress the law, this action would automatically amount to impurity, and that is against the basic objective of lawmaking. Number three, God's intention is to remove all kinds of inconveniences and hardships. In order to enable the mankind to follow easily what has been revealed to God Almighty. So in order to make the observance of Islamic law feasible, possible and easy, God Almighty wants to remove every kind of hardship. And number five, if any law is made in such a manner that in spite of removing hardship or inconveniences or uneasiness, it rather creates practical problems. It creates practical inconveniences. And the people who are deemed to be, who are supposed to obey the law, they are directly or indirectly forced and induced and obliged to violate it, to transgress it, in order to avoid from the practical inconveniences of their life. Then the liability of the transgression and violation of such kind of law lies upon the lawmakers. And this kind of law cannot be absolutely deemed as Islamic. If in its nature it can't be observed easily, in its form it can't be followed, it is not feasible, it is not workable for mankind, if for observance is, you can say, next to impossible, then such law can't be deemed Islamic, although it is expressly based on the text of the law of Quran. Because there is absolute lack of the spirit of Islam, which is always supposed to be prevalent in the whole legal structure of the state. So, it is one of the primary duties of the legislature to formulate such law in the light of the provisions of Quran and Sunnah that its observance is workable, feasible and possible for mankind, and there is no inconvenience, hardship and uneasiness in its observance. Therefore, the objective of law is to remove every kind of hardship itself, so that the people may not be forced to violate it, or people may not be induced towards evasion. If the law, its structure, its nature, its detailed rules of implementation, if such law itself induces the people towards evasion, towards violation, then the responsibility, as I have already explained, is combined and it is placed on the lawmakers themselves. When the Quran, explaining the legal status of collection of zakat and other taxes, says that one of the basic objectives of the collection of zakat and those taxes which are liable by state is to purify the people and their wealth from any kind of impurity. This provision of Quran is directly linked and related to your profession. It is stated in Holy Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرْهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. O Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, collect zakat and other payable taxes and other payable shares from their property, from their wealth, so that through this deduction and collection their wealth is purified and their persons are purified and their life is purified. No doubt that the payment of payable amount from the wealth, from the property to Islamic State under the compliance of divine commandments is in fact the purification of the persons and lives of the people and their wealth, and non-payment of payable share from their wealth is positively the impurity. And this kind of impurity is one of the basic reasons of severe wrath and painful punishment of life hereafter, as clearly stated in Holy Quran, الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الزَّهْبَ وَالْفِدَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those persons who do not pay their zakat, their taxes, which are payable, which they are liable to pay to Islamic State, they should be ready for the painful wrath and punishment which is falling in the day of the judgment and in life hereafter. So, especially the laws regulating the affairs of taxation, whether they are concerning zakat or any other fiscal aspect, they should be very carefully formulated, because if they are formulated, if they are made in such a manner that in their observance there falls any practical inconvenience and practical difficulty and uneasiness, And due to the defective nature of the law, some people, I am not talking of all, some people, due to the defective nature of the law, are forced and induced towards evasion, towards non-payment of their payable shares of their wealth. So their action will amount to impurity, which amounts to painful punishment of life hereafter, and it would involve automatically the lawmakers. Therefore, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, expressed this idea in an unambiguous way, stating, Buistu bil hanifiyati samha, I have been raised with a very easy path to be followed. This was the first basic principle, that the law, substantive law of the land, should be based on this principle, that the objective of law should be to remove inconveniences, hardship and difficulties and narrowness from the life of the people. The second basic principle, which is, I think, is result and consequence of the observance of first principle, that is killat-e takleef, or lessening of difficulty. The first principle is directly related with substantive law, whereas the second is related with the procedural one. In Quran, it is very clearly stated, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. God Almighty does not place any liability, any burden on any soul which is beyond its capacity. So, it is absolutely impossible that when a law is enforced, so at any moment there should not be any kind of hardship or trouble. If the law is observed, its observance sometimes gives a trouble to a man. So, the second aspect of removal of hardship has been given through the procedural capacity, and that is the lessening of difficulty, that the detailed rules of application of law, the procedure, the official working, should be designed, should be planned in such a manner that the people may get as less difficulty as it is possible in observing it. So in application of law, the same condition and the same objective has been placed before. The substantive law of the land should also be formulated with the idea of removal of inconvenience, and the official procedure and the official working and the implementational policies of the law, they should also be based on this philosophy, that those unnecessary technicalities which are simply to eliminate the basic utilities and profits and benefits of a good law, they should be removed. Because sometimes unnecessary technicalities, unnecessary official working or delayed official proceedings, they negate and nullify the basic objective of a good law. So the second principle of lawmaking is that while formulating the procedural laws which are concerning the implementational aspects of a legal structure, those laws should also be based on the idea of lessening of difficulty. In Quran, this concept is further substantiated in the words, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah Almighty wants to lessen your difficulties during the enforcement of law, during the your obedience to law. The third basic principle in this regard, that is tadreej, which is known as graduality. This term, the graduality, possesses twofold meaning. The first, gradation of legal values, and the second, gradual process of enforcement of law. As far as the first significance of the term graduality is concerned, that is the gradation of legal values. By gradation of legal values, we mean that the whole structure of law, the whole structure of system in Islam has been systematized, has been constructed, has been developed on the basis of gradational division. There are various grades and scales of values. Everything is not in the position of do's and don'ts. Other legal systems do not possess such kind of flexibility. The gradational system of Islamic law provides the utmost chance of flexibility, maximum chance of choice and freedom, and maximum chance of adopting one of the substitutes. Every law in Islam is neither in the nature of do nor in the nature of don't. So there are 11 grades and 11 scales of legal value in Islam. Most of the Muslim jurists have mentioned 5. Some of them have mentioned 7. But as a result of final analysis and a deep study of Islamic and legal literature, I have concluded that there are 11 legal values and 11 legal scales. Number 1, farz, that can be termed as obligatory. So first of all, I would divide the laws of Islam into 2 categories, positive laws and negative laws. Positive laws are concerned with acts of commission, whereas negative laws are concerned with acts of commission. Positive laws discuss the provisions of do's. Negative laws discuss the provisions of don'ts. There are 5 scales and grades in the category of positive law, and the same 5 grades and scales in the category of negative law, with contradistinction of each category of positive law with the another. And the 11th scale or 11th grade is common to both. The first grade, the first legal value, or the first scale of legal value in category of positive law is farz. That is known as obligatory. And in its opposition, in the category of negative law, the topmost legal scale or legal grade is haram. That is known as forbidden. So we can, speaking in technical sense, we can say that haram is versus to farz. Or the act of commission that possesses the status of farz. Farz versus haram. So haram is forbidden. The second scale in positive law of Islam, that is wajib, it can be termed as imperative. Whereas the second scale in the category of negative law, that is makruh tahrimi, known as condemned. The third scale in the category of positive law, that is sunnat-e muakkada, that is known as mandatory recommendation. Whereas the third scale in the category of negative law is isa'at, known as disapproved. The fourth scale in the category of positive law, that is sunnat-e ghair muakkada, directly recommendation. Whereas the fourth scale in the category of negative law, that is makruh tanzihi, to be termed as improper. The fifth scale in the category of positive law, that is mustahab, known as commendable. Whereas the fifth scale in the category of negative law is khilaf-e aula, to be termed as uncommendable. These are 10 scales, divisible into 5 and 5. And the 11th scale is known as jaiz or mubah, that is known as indifferent or permissible. The basic philosophy, basic utility, and the basic objective of the division of Islamic laws into various 11 scales of values is to provide the maximum chance of option, maximum chance of flexibility, maximum is to enhance the scope of ijtihad for legislature in Islamic State. Islamic legislature or any body vested with the powers of lawmaking of Islam can't change the category of the law It can't shift any value from positive to negative, nor from negative to positive. But it can change the legislature, the Muslim jurists, Islamic ideology council, Islamic state, the ulama, the fuqaha, and the technocrats, and the scholars, and the specialists of a country, discussing and analyzing the situation in accordance with their own fields of speciality. They can discuss collectively, and through their deliberate discussions, they can conclude that this scale of legal value should be enhanced and upgraded up to this scale in order to meet with the requirement of the present age, for the purpose of removing any discrepancy, any difficulty which is being faced by the society at present. Those legal systems which are unaware of this gradational system, they lack flexibility. Whenever they feel any necessity of this kind, they are forced to amend their law. They are forced to repeal their law. They are forced to abrogate their law. They are forced to change their constitutional principles. They are forced to change their basic structure of their law. But as far as the Islamic legal structure is concerned, no need of amendment is there. There is no need of repealing. There is no need of abrogation. You can simply change one grade. You can upgrade a scale to another. You can degrade a scale to the lower. And this can serve the whole purpose, that purpose which is being served through repeals and amendments by the other legal systems. And the second significance of graduality is the enforcement, gradual and process of enforcement of law. As the Holy Quran was not revealed abruptly to Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was revealed to Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in approximately 22 years, 2 months and 22 days, in a piecemeal process. Whenever there was any requirement, whenever there was any necessity placed before Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, God Almighty used to send a piece or a para or a portion of Quran towards Holy Prophet in order to solve the problem. This piecemeal process of divine revelation was not confined only to the purpose of revelation, but it indicated to the Muslim community the philosophy of the enforcement of Islamic law as well. Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, himself clarifies the situation, and that has been narrated in Tafsir Qurtubi, volume 3. Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is a great blessing of God Almighty on you, O my people, that Almighty Allah has not revealed His commandments in an abrupt situation. He has given and enforced over you His law in a piecemeal and gradual process. So enforcement of law in a gradual process is one of the great blessings of God. And the same philosophy was clearly explained by Hazrat Aisha, that is reported in Sahih Bukhari, second volume. She says that it was only when the Muslim community became firm, sound, staunch and profound in Islamic faith and Islamic teaching, it was only then the provisions of halal and haram, the prohibitory provisions of Quran were revealed. Had the legal provisions concerning halal and haram, had these provisions revealed in an abrupt situation, you would have been placed in a troublesome condition. So this gradual situation, analyzing the gradual process of enforcement of law for applicational purposes, for the practice of today, we can understand this philosophy in these words, that Islamic law is primarily divided into two categories. The first is known as primary law, and the second declaratory law or declarative law. And the first is also known as defining law. Primary laws are, in Arabic terminology, known as ahkam-e-taklifi. And declarative laws in Arabic terminology are known as ahkam-e-taklifi.